Did he? Oh, da, 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 yo, you know. Aho, you know, ho, ye, oi, la, da, da, da. Hello, hello. Oh, I'm missing a safer. I'm going to be back in a minute. Sorry. All right, I'm coming right back. Okay. Are we ready? I see Chava's here, Skippy is here, and Michal David is here. Who else is joining us? Sorry for our late little start. Have no fear, we're going to get there. And it's going to be fantastic. You're going to appreciate the Hanukkah menorah in a whole new way, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. A whole new way. Judah, happy Hanukkah. Valletta's on board. All right. We're getting there. Okay, Rabbi, you ready? Let's do this. Let's do this together. So we're going to be learning about the menorah. And tonight's class, with the Gates of Darkness, is going to tell the story of the menorah as you may never have heard it before. I'm pretty sure that when you're finished listening, if you have the patience, I'm pretty sure that you will never look at the menorah in the same way again. You'll have like a whole new appreciation. Try me. Forget Netflix. Torah is much, much better. So I think that everybody who's watching probably knows that we celebrate Hanukkah. And a primary, if not the primary, focus of the observance and celebration of Hanukkah is the Hanukkah menorah. I've heard people call it Chanukiah. That's not really accurate. I mean, it's a cute Ivritism, but it really is a menorah. It's in the image of the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. We have a Beit HaMikdash menorah, and that has seven branches. There's a Beit HaKnesset menorah that has five branches. And that's for a different episode, a different class. And then there's the Hanukkah menorah. And the Hanukkah menorah invariably will have eight or possibly nine branches. But the ninth is just an add-on. That's the shamash or service candle. You will always see eight branches on the Hanukkah menorah corresponding to the eight miraculous days of Hanukkah. So we know what a Hanukkah menorah is supposed to look like. And we know what kind of fuel should be used, or at least what's ideal. If we're eating foods that are fried in oil, I mean, wouldn't it make sense to do the actual mitzvah with oil? It call it kind of a no-brainer. Certainly the ideal way to do the mitzvah with shemen zayit, with olive oil. And we know how to light the menorah. There's a dispute if we rise or fall. Beis Shammai says, fire up the menorah on the first night. And then as the days begin to ebb away, you decrease. Beis Shammai has a good source. There's a lot of corollary between the festival of Sukkot and the offerings brought during those days, which are on a sliding scale, and the impact of the menorah and the celebration of Hanukkah. But this too is for a different episode. We light the menorah in a manner that waxes in holiness, Ma'alin B'Kodesh. But our sages also spoke about the placement of the menorah. And it's the placement of the menorah specifically that is going to reveal for us the real secret, the secret power of the menorah. So with no further ado, we'll begin at the beginning. The earliest document for us, for Torah Jews, authentic document, accurate document, is not the Book of Maccabees, but rather the words of the Gemara. The other texts about Hanukkah are not sacred, they're apocryphal. This is sacred, this is Torah. So the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbat, what is Michal David saying? Adam HaRishon lit something like the menorah when he saw the days getting longer. Yes, Michal David, there is a corollary between Adam HaRishon and the menorah, but this is really beyond the purview. Okay, we have a good crowd, Baruch Hashem, online. And there's probably lots of you on Facebook too. Although, I'm going to tell you, if you're one of those Facebookers, you might want to join us on YouTube. I think there's maybe better sound, better picture. Anyway, let's get right into it. So the Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Beis, page 21, side B, the Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanon, a rabbi's learned. Ner Chanukah, a ner is freely translated or maybe mistranslated in today's day and age as a candle. In antiquity, there were no candles. There were lamps. Little lamps that they would fill with olive oil, and some of them had little handles, and you could carry a lamp around like that at night if you needed, or place it on the table so that you'd be able to study. So the Ner Chanukah, the lamp of Chanukah, which is how it's referred to in the Gemara, because as you might know or not, not all people fulfilled the mitzvah with multiple or increasing numbers of lights or had menorahs. We don't have any actual Chanukah menorahs in the era of the Gemara. This is, if you will, a later invention, something that came along afterwards. The mitzvah was for us to light lamps. So Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lahanicha al petach beito mibachutz. It's a mitzvah, very interesting verbiage. A mitzvah is a mandate. Mitzvahs are, broadly speaking, commandments or obligatory. And whilst God doesn't tell us in his Torah to light a menorah, God tells us in his Torah that we must listen to the sages and dare not ignore their words. So it is a mitzvah. What did the sages command us, ultimately in God's name? The mitzvah that they gave us, mitzvah, doesn't say it's nice, it doesn't say it's cute, sweet, or appropriate. It says it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah la'nicha al pesach beis mibachutz. It's a mitzvah to place the menorah on the gates. The gates, or doorway, or entranceway to the outside. Why are we going outside for? Since when did we hear of going outside? Mitzvahs are generally performed inside. And to be sure, something like prayers or davening isn't even permitted really in the great outdoors. Asur lihispal babaka, says the Gemara in Mesechet Brachot. But here, we're going outdoors. Rashi tells us, Pesach beso, the door, we have mitzvahs at the door. We've been obsessed with doorways ever since we became a people. You might remember that the night before we left Egypt, we were painting the doorposts and lintels with the blood of the Paschal Lamb. So we're marking our homes, and of course, shortly afterwards, we receive the commandment from God to place a mezuzah. Although the actual text of the mezuzah doesn't show up in the Torah until we get to Deuteronomy. So, we have a mitzvah to place a mezuzah. Where? Well, on the doorpost. An indentured laborer can extend his period of servitude, and he has to go to the mezuzah, to the doorway as well. So we have multiple mitzvahs that are performed at doorways. But here, there's another word added. It doesn't just say petach beito, it says petach beito mi bachutz. So Rashi comments and he says, mishum parsume nisa. We're concerned with publicization of the miracle. And if you want to get a message out into the public, you got to get out there. I mean, today you can sit on your bed and play around with your phone, but once upon a time you couldn't communicate with the outside world unless you actually went outside, or at least put something that was visible to the outside. Now, does this mean outside, outside? Rashi says, well, no, it doesn't mean outside, outside. In those days, they lived in these enclaves. So they had a kind of attached homes, and they formed a little chatzer, a little courtyard. This is similar to the way apartment buildings used to be built, with like a hollow in the middle of the inside. So Rashi tells it doesn't mean the public thoroughfare, but it means the outer courtyard. Because their homes would empty into a shared space. And the shared space was oftentimes visible from the public thoroughfare. So it's at your home, not outside your home, because if it's outside your home, you don't see the menorah, and that wouldn't be good. The menorah has to be seen by you. Al petach beito mi bachutz. And the reason, it's obvious, parsume nisa. We have to publicize the miracle. Okay. All the best, Dan. All the best. Thank you for joining. By the way, if anybody has questions, I'm going to attempt to try and pay attention to the screen, because today there's a big storm coming tonight, and I'm here all by myself, and I have nobody to look at, so I'm just looking at you out there. And if you have any questions, like I said, I'm happy to try and respond. Now, we know it has to be lit at the door. The question is, which side? No, it's not whatever side you choose. Halacha is very specific. If you said at the door, you can't be the middle of the door because people are walking through the middle of the door. It's got to be on the side of the door. Which side? So the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph on page 21, side A, returns to the original discussion. And the Gemara says like this. Omar Rabbe said, Ner Chanukah, this mitzvah, the lamp of Chanukah, it's a mitzvah lahanicha al betefach hasmucha lepesach. Not too far from the door. It's got to be within a hand's breadth. That's like 3.5 inches or something, or less. So the Gemara says, okay, that's very nice. V'heichan manachle. So where do you place it? And here we have a dispute. Rav Acha b'rei de Rava, Rav Acha, the son of the great sage Rava, even though he doesn't say this in the name of his father, it's reasonable to presume they must have heard it from him. And anyway, he says, miyamin, on the right side. And Rashi just says, miyamin, b'chnisaso Beitoli means, it's like, what do you mean the right side? There's always going to be a right side and a left side. So how do you know? How do you know which side? What do you mean the right side? It depends where you're standing. So Rashi says, no. We're talking about the outer doorway. So if it's the outer doorway, it's actually where you would look to the right when you're coming into the house, because you're trying to attract or publicize a message to the public that's outside the house. Rashi says, "B'chnisaso lebeso," at what would be the right of your entrance. Rav Shmuel midifti, he disagrees. He says, "Mismol," it has to be at the left. And the Gemara does something rather unusual. This is not the only time there's a dispute. We have schools of thought about most, if not almost everything, Torah and Jewish. But here, the Gemara immediately resolves a dispute and says, makes a statement, the Hilchasa and the Halacha Mismol. The menorah goes on the left. We don't even have a discussion. We don't even have an exploration, a discovery of why right, why left. Straight up, right away, Hilchasa Misma. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Kidei, in order, Shetehen Ner Chanukah Mismoil, so that the Chanukah menorah should be on the left, U'mezuzah Miyamin, and the mezuzah on the right side. Now, very interestingly, Rashi does not say a word about the mezuzah, the menorah being on the left side, even though that's the first thing the Gemara says. The Gemara says, mezuzah, menorah on the left, emphasizing that there's a left placement for menorah. The mezuzah, that's on the right side. It doesn't say the mezuzah is on the right, so therefore place the menorah on the left. The Gemara says, the mezuzah is on, the menorah, pardon me, is on the left, and the mezuzah will be on the right. Rashi says, mezuzah, why does the mezuzah have to be on the right? The kaimalam biyamin, because we learn that the mezuzah must always be on the right. Now, I want you to know that what Rashi is about to say here is verbatim his commentary on Masechet Menachot, where Rashi speaks about the proper placement of a mezuzah and goes so far as to tell you that if the mezuzah isn't placed appropriately, it's not kosher. Which means you may as well not have a mezuzah. The mezuzah has to be properly written, on parchment, by a Jew who believes in the content of the mitzvah. And that makes it a kosher or suitable mezuzah. But in order for you to fulfill the mitzvah of affixing, because having a mezuzah really doesn't help anybody. Affixing a mezuzah means it has to be properly affixed. And that's on the right side. So Rashi there in Masechet Menachot tells us that the mezuzah has to be on the right because that's what the Torah ordains. It's very interesting that Rashi chooses to repeat his comment here. I mean, he doesn't really explain why the menorah should be on the left, but he feels compelled to tell you why the mezuzah has to be on the right. D'chsiv, it says Beitecha, your home. And we have this drasha, we have this exposition of the word Beitecha, that Beitecha is very similar to the word Bi'atcha. It's like adding an aleph, the coming, the arrival. And he says, derech bi'atcha. Beitcha has to be derech bi'atcha. So beitcha means the right of your entrance. Derech bi'atcha. So if it's the entrance, how do you know it's on the right of the entrance? Says Rashi, viki okar inish kare. When a person raises his foot, takes a step, the yamina okar bereshit, people tend to walk with their right foot first. Excuse me. Put your right foot first. Have you heard that expression? Start off on the right foot. So we tend to think of people as right-handed or left-handed, not right-footed or left-footed, unless you play soccer. But nonetheless, apparently there is a thing about people putting their best foot forward. And your best foot is usually your right foot. Interestingly, when a chassan and kala get married right after the chuppah, they enter into a little bit of seclusion, which completes the process of marriage. So we tell them, your right foot first, unless you're a lefty. Then we say, your left foot first, because you're entering into that private space to be together for the first time, privately. Put your best foot forward, put your strongest foot forward. And if you're a lefty, then it'd be your left foot. So Rashi goes on to talk about the mezuzah, and that it's on the right side, and that it's like on the outside, the right outside, even though we talked about outside the Gemara earlier. And he doesn't say a word about the business of left. Incidentally, this, what we call hilchasa, this halacha, is universally acclaimed. Rabbeinu Alfas, the Rif, first codification of halacha ever written, taking the entirety of the Talmud, restating it in halachic or legal prose, the Rif simply says, Mismael, Hilchasa Mismael. Rabbeinu Asher, a later codifier, who also wrote commentary in the form of codes primarily on the Talmud, states so clearly. And Rambam states so clearly. Straight. Rambam says, you place the menorah, betefach ha-samoch lepetach, al-smol ha-nichnas le-boyis, on the left of the entrance into the home. Rambam adds the words. He says, kedei shetahei mezuzah mi-yamin v'ner chanukah mismel. Rashi, Rambam switches the order. The Gemara says, Ner Chanukah on the left and the mezuzah on the right. Rambam says, mezuzah on the right and the menorah on the left, which is interesting. At any rate, so this is a claim, this is the halacha, everybody agrees, and everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory, as they say. So let's take a look now in the commentary of Rabbeinu Nissim. Rabbeinu Nissim writes commentary on the Rif, on the Alphas. So the first thing that the Alphas does is introduce us to the drasha which is found in Masechet Menachot on page 34. And he says, the mezuzah we learn is biyamin, that it's beitcha, derech biyatcha. That's exactly what it says in the Gemara Menachos. And then the Ran says this. He says, V'yesh mi shekosav. There is someone who has written. The ilecha mezuzah. That if there is no mezuzah, maniach ner Chanukah b'yamin, then the ner Chanukah should go on the right side. Why? So the Ran says, kederech kol mitzvot. It's the way of mitzvot. The right of way. We always choose right when it comes to a mitzvah. Now this is very interesting. It's very interesting that he talks about kederech. It's in the manner of all mitzvahs. It's interesting that he brings the drasha of mezuzah and then he says v'yesh misha kosov, clearly indicating it's not necessarily a continuation. We can't be certain that Rashi would have said the same thing, that the mezuzah has to be on the right, because if the mezuzah has to be on the right, and that's kederach kol mitzvos, why do we need a special drasha? So from the Gemara and Menachos, it doesn't seem so simple. It's like a novelty. Or at least, that has to be on the right of the entrance. It's not clear if what Rashi would have held. It's not clear what the other commentaries hold. They don't speak about this. Rambam doesn't speak about it, Rif doesn't speak about it, Rush doesn't speak about it. They say that Ner Chanukah has to be on the left side.
So Ram says, it's only on the left side because the mezuzah is already on the right. If that wouldn't be the case, we'd follow the opinion of Rav Acha, and the mezuzah would go on the right. Now, one of the interesting things I think is worthy of pointing out is that Rav Acha Brei Derava, he said the menorah should be on the right anyway. He knew the mezuzah is on the right. That's not a novelty. He wasn't arguing where the mezuzah is placed. He knew the mezuzah is on the right. He said, okay, you have a mezuzah and your menorah. That's your mitzvah side. This idea of kidei, in order that you should have a mitzvah on either side, isn't that simple. You can't call it universally acclaimed. At any rate, the Ran says, the way of mitzvahs is right, so in the event that we have a situation where there's no mezuzah, the menorah moves to the right. Interestingly, there are other Rishonim who say very similar things. For example, we have the halachas of the great Rishon, whose name was Rabbeinu Eliezer, Rabbi Yoel Halevi, known as, he wrote a compilation of halacha, a very early compilation of halacha. It's called Sefer Ravya. In the Sefer Ravya, he rules Hilchasa, the halacha is Mismol, Kidei Shetehei Mezuzah Miyamin V'ner Chanukah Mismol. He also inverts the order. It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the menorah should be on the left and the mezuzah should be on the right. But like Rambam, he says no. Kidei Shetehei Mezuzah Miyamin. And because of that, the menorah is Mismol. It's almost as if to say, the only reason that the menorah is on the left is because the mezuzah is already on the right, even though Rav Acha Brei Derava wasn't concerned with that. And therefore the Ravya says, V'heicha deleka mezuzah kavua, if there isn't a mezuzah affixed to the doorpost, then in that case, maniach lei biyamin, then you place it on the right, the menorah, that is to say, midenokat. Kidei shetehei, because we said, in order, why should you put the menorah on the left? In order that the menorah will be on the left, and the mezuzah will be on the right. What if there's no mezuzah? No mezuzah, move the menorah from the left to the right. Oh, lav hachi, if it doesn't have a mezuzah on the right, lo. The same idea is also expressed in the Hagos Maimonis, a very, very important early commentary on the words of Rambam himself. The Rambam is found in Hilchas Megillah and Chanukah, the fourth chapter. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam says that you have to place it betefach hasamach lepesach, within a hand's breadth of the doorway itself, and it has to be al smoil hanichnas labayis, why on the left of the entrance into the home, so that the mezuzah will be on the right. And the Ner Chanukah will be on the left. Says the Agos Maimonis, Upesach de'ein lo mezuzah. What if we have a door that has no mezuzah? Don't ask me why it doesn't have a mezuzah. You're sleeping in a hotel. You rented an apartment, an Airbnb for a couple of days. Somebody doesn't have a mezuzah. Could happen. But he wants to light the menorah. What do we say to him? Are you? You don't have a mezuzah? No menorah for you. There's no such thing. Every mitzvah stands on its own. So if there's no mezuzah, he says, then in that case, manichei b'yamin. You put the menorah on the right. Sharelei posek ha-sefer b'smoil, the book. We don't throw the book at you and say, no, we said, this is how it has to be on the left. Elo mipnei hatam shabamud, because there's a mezuzah standing there. Oh, heicho deleko. What if there's no mezuzah? He says, in that case, harei yamin adifa. The right, he says, is stronger. Now, it's interesting. The Ravya doesn't say anything about the right being stronger or reason why. He just says if there's no mezuzah, be yamin. He doesn't give any kind of explanation. But the Ran did give us a bit of an explanation. He says, maniach be yamin kiderech kol ha-mitzvot, in the manner of all mitzvot. Well, Hagos Maimonis goes further. He says, Yamin Adifa. The right is better. L'chvod ha-mitzvah. This brings honor to the mitzvah. So this is about honoring a mitzvah. It's not just the mannerism of the mitzvah or the most typical way of doing the mitzvah. This is the way to honor the mitzvah. It sounds like we almost dishonor the mitzvah because we have a mezuzah on the right already. Sounds like that. We're like robbing the menorah of some of its dignity because somebody else already took the place on the right. And it's as if like it's better to have a doorway where we have a mitzvah on the right than a mitzvah on the left, as it, the term is comes later. We have this term that enters the conversation of Torah literature, and the term becomes mesuvav b'mitzvah, surrounded by mitzvahs, much later term that enters, is injected into the conversation. So here it's early on, it's not that we don't find that terminology, but we have this idea. So it's almost like we detract from the honor of the mezuzah because there's a virtue in creating an environmental balance where we have right mezuzah and left we have a menorah. But in the event that we don't have that environmental balance possibility because there is no mezuzah, then in that case, certainly, he says, the menorah should definitely move to the right. It's the honor of the mitzvah. You do a mitzvah in the most honorable, respectful way possible. So the major codifiers, the three, if you will, books that the entirety of Jewish law rests upon, Rif, Rosh, Rambam, do not speak about this. That's a fact. Later commentaries do. Later Rishonim do. I gave you some examples. Ran, Ravya, Hagos Maimonides. Now the Tur, which is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbeinu Yankov Balaturim, the son of the Rosh, in chapter Tof Resh Ayin Aleph, 671 of Orach Chaim, the laws that regulate everyday life, which is laws of Chanukah. In the end of Simin Tof Resh Ayin Aleph, the Tur says the following. He says, firstly, the mitzvah is lahanichai b'tefach ha-samach l'pesach, within a hand's breadth, that we've heard verbatim. And he says, mismol, on the left. And here again, like so many of the other Rishonim, he follows the verbiage of the Rambam and Ravya and others. Kidei shetehei mezuzah miyamin, not the way the Gemara says it, that the menorah should be on the left because the mezuzah is on the right. He says, no, because the mezuzah is on the right and their Chanukah is on the left. Here, the Tur adds something very interesting. Because of Avi HaEzri, Shemein mezuzah bePesach, if there is no mezuzah, Manichei miYamin, then you place it on the right. The Torah doesn't give any reasoning for this. He doesn't speak about a mitzvah being more appropriate or better or the manner. He just mentions, matter of fact, kind of follows the approach of the Ravya. He says, maybe that's what the Avi Ezri wrote also. The Beit Yosef, in his commentary, doesn't really add anything of consequence, but the Bayit Chodesh, the Bach, Rabbeinu Yoel Sirkish does. He adds quite a bit here. He gives us another reason as to why the mezuzah would better be placed on the right. So far, we have reasons like that's the way mitzvahs are done, so we try to keep uniformity. We talked about the honor of a mitzvah. The Bach, quoting the responsa of the Maharil, Rabbeinu Yankov Mulin is really the forerunner of Ashkenazic halacha, so he quotes his tshuvas. He says, excuse me, he says, v'oid, there's something else. There's another reason why this might be a better idea. The kivon ditzarech lahadlik bePesach lepersumei nisa. Since we're lighting the mezuzah in the entranceway, at the gateway, the doorway, and as Rashi told us, the reason we're doing this is to fulfill the dictum of publicizing the miracle. So he says, then it makes sense that it should be b'mokim shenichnasim v'yetzim, that you're going to put it in the place where people are coming and going, entrance and egress, the door. And here, the Bach says, quoting the Tshuva of the Ma'aril, v'chol pinot sha'odam pone, whenever a person takes a turn, you know, kind of turns the corner, turns into something. Eino elolimin. All turns are always to the right. So he says, if all turns are to the right, if people naturally kind of veer right, I'm guessing this is if you're right-handed, and if you're left-handed, you might kind of gravitate left. But most people are right-handed. So if it's most natural for a person to gravitate or to incline himself rightward, and you're going to be coming into the house, where's the best place for a menorah? Where it's going to be noticed first? Where would that be? And the answer is miyamin. Shesham hakol ponen. That's where everybody turns. And the moment they'll turn, they'll see the menorah. V'nizker l'nes. They'll remember the miracle. Oh, it's Hanukkah. Of course, we're celebrating a miracle. Miyad kishero hanerot dolkot. Immediately, the moment you see the lamps burning. So we have now some of the Rishonim who don't give really any reason, just matter-of-factly state, yeah, that's the way it should be. And then we have some more details. You know, that Goras Maimonides also tells us that this is the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Simcha. These are from the Baal Yad Tosfos. We have the Ran's reasoning, Kederach Kol HaMitzvos. We have the Goras Maimonides' reasoning, L'chvodo, Yamin Adif, because that's kvodo, the honor of the mitzvah. And then we have the Bach, the Bayit Chodosh, quoting the Maharil, who adds this idea of, this is a better way to do parsuminisa. What's the halacha? The halacha, let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. Unfortunately, this part of the Shulchan Aruch we don't have from the Alter Rebbe, that was lost in a fire. But in the regular Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Simin Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, chapter 671, in the subsection 7, paragraph 7, Halacha Zayin, it says like this. Siv Zayin. V'yemein mezuzah b'pesach. Well, first Siv Zayin says, mitzvah l'anichah b'pesach ha-samach pardon me. Let's do that again. Siv Zayin. Mitzvah la'nichi b'tefach ha-samach le'pesach. It's a mitzvah to place it within a hand's breadth of the entrance to the door, mismoil, on the left. Kidei she'tehei mezuzah mi'yamin v'ner chanukah mi'smol. So that the mezuzah will be on the right and the menorah will be on the left, the lamps of Hanukkah on the left. Again, it just fascinates me how almost all the Rishonim are using an inverted order, but maybe that's a subject for another day. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is already in the body of the Shulchan Aruch, v'imein mezuzah b'pesach, if there is no mezuzah, manicha miyamin, you place the menorah on the right side. That's all. No reasoning, no explanation, straight up. The Vilna Gaon and the Bira Agra says, d'leyomru mismael, we only reason we said, put menorah on the left is mishum mezuzah. The mezuzah is on the right already. But I just want to say that, like, it's not so simple because we have the opinion of Rav Acha, the son of Rava, and Rav Acha says, put it on the right. And we don't have to explain why Rav Acha said that, put it on the right. Because that's where a mitzvah belongs. He said, well, the mezuzah is there already, so there's no room for two mitzvahs on one side. The mezuzah is higher up and the menorah is a little bit lower. I mean, like, it's hard to just write off the idea that the menorah could never be on the side of the mezuzah. Rav Acha clearly held it should be. But that's not the halacha. But the Vilna Gaon says, the only reason it's not the halacha is because the mezuzah is there already. If not for the mezuzah being there, certainly the menorah would go on the right. Well, sounds pretty much matter of fact, except that it isn't matter of fact. It is the halacha, by the way, and that's clear. However, the great Rishon Rabbeinu Aharon Milunil in the Orchas Chaim, I'm only using papers because I don't own an Orchas Chaim yet. I will take care of that soon. But I don't happen to have an Orchas Chaim, so I printed it out. So the Orchas Chaim says in Hilchas Hilcha, in his Laws of Chanukah, after telling us that the lamp of Chanukah should be a hand's breadth on the left of the entrance, so that the mezuzah is on the right and the Chanukah lamp is on the left. And then he says, the Yesh Imrim, there is a school of thought and an opinion, Dafke bePesach sheYesh bei mezuzah. This is specific to a doorway that has a mezuzah. Aval emein bo mezuzah? What if it has no mezuzah? In that case, yanichenu biyamin, place it on the right. And he says, I'll give you yet another reason. Va'oid, furthermore, he says. So we had the reason of the Ran, we had the reason of Goras Maimonides, we have the way of mitzvahs, we have the honor of mitzvahs, we have the reason, the Bach's quoting the Maharil, because that's where it will be noticed first. The Orchas Chaim says, I'll give you another reason. The menorah that we use is Dumya de Migdosh. It's in the image of the menorah that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. And where was the menorah placed? On the south side. And when we think directionally, we typically face east, so south is the right. Even though when you were going into the Holy of Holies, you were facing west, and that happened to be on your left, but that's not the point. Typically, east is what we call Kedem. That's straightforward, where the sun rises. So again, he's giving us a fourth reason why it should be on the right. And yet, Rabbeinu Aharon Milunil says, Ve'onu loy chilaknu. We do not make a distinction, he says. Bein zelaza, we don't make a distinction between circumstance and circumstance. Shebekulon madlikin aysa b'smoil. We always light the menorah on the left. Regardless of whether there is or isn't a mezuzah, the menorah stays on the left. The Kolboy, whose authorship, by the way, is unknown. There is a school of thought that it was a very, very righteous and learned woman who compiled the Kolboy. The Kolboy brings many of the rulings of the Orchas Chaim, very similar to the Orchas Chaim. The Kolboy, written not long after the Orchas Chaim, says, Uma she'amarnu, and this that is said, she'manichin ner Chanukah, that the Chanukah menorah, the Chanukah lamp should be, mismol. There is a school of thought that this is only when it's a door, she'yesh bo mezuzah, that then madlikim mismol. Ah, v'lemein bo mezuzah, what if there is no mezuzah? Yanichenu biyamin, place it on the right. And he gives us yet another source. V'chein kosov harabeinu peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz in the Sefer HaItur also writes like this. Now, this will sound strange to some of you, but halachically, a synagogue is exempt from a mezuzah because it's not a place to live. It's a place for God's presence. There's no mezuzah in the Beis HaMikdash. There is one shul in Toronto that doesn't have mezuzah. It's a very firm shul. There Rav Paskin, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, Beit HaKnesset doesn't need a mezuzah, and they continue to honor his ruling. So he says, Beit HaKnesset, and it almost seems from the Kolboy, that when they would light the menorah in the Beit HaKnesset, which incidentally is a totally different menorah, it's not a menorah that anybody fulfills his or her obligation with. The menorah which is lit in the public thoroughfare, public places, like a Beit HaKnesset, this represents the obligation that we have to light a menorah when we gather together, when we assemble on the holiday of Chanukah. It's a later injunction. Yes, a bracha is recited, but it's a different injunction. So he says, if you were in a Beit HaKnesset, the leka mezuzah where there wouldn't be a mezuzah, madli can be a min. Certainly, you light on the right side. And he says, ve'oid, furthermore, so he adds this detail of a Beit HaKnesset. And he's always telling us what Rabbeinu Peretz says. that Dumi the Migdash. The Chanukah menorah is in the image of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was on the right side, on the south. So he says, in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah is b'yamin, b'darom. And yet, the kolboy ruling, like the Erchus Chaim says, va'ono loy chilaknu. We don't make a difference, he says. We don't make a difference. Bein zel lezeh, between one circumstance, one situation or the other. Bekulon madlika noisa b'smoil. In every situation, we are always going to light the Chanukah menorah on the left side. So this is really difficult to understand. Like, what exactly is the reasoning of the Erchas Chaim and the Kolboy? They are taking the less traveled path. Most of the later Rishonim seem to err on the side of moving the menorah to the right. And they say, no, lechilakno. So Reb Naftali Tzvi Berlin, known as the Netziv, in his responsa called Emek Sha'ela, he suggests, in She'ilta Chaf Aleph, he suggests that this is because of a halachic principle called lo plug. We don't like making distinctions. So for example, on Friday night, when a Jewish woman will light candles, she'll first light the candles and then recite the bracha. That's very odd, because typically we recite a blessing before we do the action. Asher Kedishanu, who has commanded us that we do this thing. So we first draw holiness down and then we follow through with an action. Now on Shabbat, there's a problem. The problem is that once you use your words to dignify the day and set it aside, sanctify it as Shabbat, it is Shabbat. So if you would make a bracha, lahadlik, ner shel Shabbat Kodesh, it is Shabbat Kodesh. So you have to light the candles first. This is why the women have a custom of kind of blocking the light and covering their face, and they make a bracha and they pray, and then they remove their hands from their face, open their eyes, and they're enjoying the light. It's like kind of like creating an action, like an action that follows the blessing. Another example is when we wash our hands. We make a bracha after we wash our hands. Why? Because some hand washings take place where you aren't able to recite a bracha, like Netilat Yadayim, washing the laving of the hands in the morning. So we say, hey, one second. If you can't wash your hands in the morning, your hands aren't clean yet, and that's why you wouldn't make a bracha then. So why not by the other Netilat Yadayim make a bracha before you wash your hands? Why not on Yom Tov, when one is permitted to handle and transfer fire, why not first have the Yom Tov candles lit, first make a bracha, and then light the Yom Tov candles? And there are many other examples. Mikvah is another example. And the answer is Lo Plug. Our sages said, you gotta follow the Kiss rule. You need to keep it simple. If you're going to confuse people, this time you do it one way, next time another way. People get confused. So we have to try to keep things as simple and as uniform as possible. And the Emek Sha'ela suggests that this is the reason why the Erchas Chaim and the Kolbo kind of stubbornly insist on staying on the left. But that's very hard to accept, because Loi Plug is a universal rule. Nobody argues about Netilat Yadayim, and nobody argues about something like Hadlakat Ner of Shabbat and Yom Tov. But somehow, when it comes here, everybody seems very comfortable moving the menorah from the left to the right. So simply to attribute it to Lo Plug, at best, leaves us wanting. At worst, it doesn't really explain things. It seems like the menorah didn't belong on the left ever. It was kind of forced into the left. So the moment they can leave the left, then it should leave. We have already five reasons why it should be on the right. It's like almost shocking that we even put it on the left to begin with. And yet, the Kolbe says, no, the left, that's the place. So this is one of those examples where nigla, where the halachic area of Torah can't really be fully appreciated or understood unless we take a look at the mystical and spiritual dimension of Torah. So let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara has a different question. When is the right time to light the menorah? The Gemara on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara on page 21, side B. The Gemara says like this. Mitzvata, the mitzvah, the when you're supposed to do it, the time for performing this commandment is Mishetishka Hachama, from when the sun sets. That's when the menorah ideally should be lit. Although one is permitted to light the menorah before that also, and we have to do that on Erev Shabbat, because we light the menorah before Shabbat candles are lit, and Shabbat candles are lit 18 minutes before the sun sets. That's outside of Yerushalayim. There they have even a longer time. So the menorah can be lit really from Plag HaMincha, which is an earlier halachic timeline. But ideally, the proper mitzvah is at least the other nights, or if you don't have extenuating circumstances, from the time of sunset, until when? At Shetichla Regel Min HaShuk. Until the passerbys, until the foot vanishes, the footsteps fade away at night. Now remember, in antiquity, there were no street lamps. So when night fell, you had to be in a safe place. And people usually hunkered down once it got dark and didn't venture out until it was safe again. So in the marketplaces, when the streets empty out, that's when there's no longer a mitzvah. And now this is kind of logical, because we're lighting it in a public thoroughfare, or at least where it can be seen from a public thoroughfare, at the door. And we're doing that because we want the public to see. But if there is no public, if the streets are deserted, then what would be the point of lighting a menorah? Now, interestingly, in today's day and age, we don't light the menorah on the outside. So those who wish to remain loyal to the takana, the original injunction of the sages, continue to light it in the doorway, to light it in the inner doorway. Because there was a time of sakana, of danger, at a certain point, the menorah moved indoors. You don't have to risk your life to fulfill a mitzvah. So who's the parsumen is for? For the family. So as long as members of the family are up, you can light the menorah. It gives you a much wider envelope, a much broader area of scrimmage in which you're permitted to light the menorah. But the menorah, when it was lit at the door, in the outside, for parsumen isa, as we've learned, would be until the footsteps vanish. Okay. So when is that? When do footsteps, you know, if you will, when do footsteps vanish? What exactly, who decides when people leave the street there? So the Gemara continues like a little bit later, and the Gemara asks this question. Okay, so ad shetichla regel min hashuk. Okay, fine. When is that? Va'ad kama. And the Gemara answers, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He said that's ad dechalya rigla de tarmudai, until the proverbial Tarmodians have vanished. What are these Tarmodians? So the city of Tarmud, which is also identified in antiquity as Tadmur, it seems to be they use the letters got superimposed or interchanges. Tarmud or Tamr or Tadmur. This is a city. It's a fairly ancient city. It was conquered and destroyed many times. It's in an oasis in the Syrian desert. It's in today's day and age. It's in the area called Homs, Homs. The Homs province. And it was in the news. It was in the news about 5 or 6 years ago, because the monsters
the subhuman people of ISIS. They were blowing up like ancient temples and like archaeology that had survived all the wars, and these guys were like blowing it up to destroy what they considered to be offensive culture. And they were a group, like a mixture. They were Arameans and part Arab and part like Assyrian, different, and they kind of made their own little culture. At some point, this area, this city, it's a famous city, it becomes known as Palmyra, which is a Latin name. And there's like a discussion as to how it ends up being Palmyra. At any rate, it seems that during the time of the Talmud, so these people, they would collect kindling wood. As Rashi says, Shem Uma was the name of a nation. They were like a mini nation. They had their own distinct culture. They had their own distinct currency and their own distinct monarchy even. They were Malakte Eitzim Dakim. By the way, they're spoken of. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about them as being rebellious in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when this area was under the sway of King Solomon, and they rebelled against King Solomon. So at that point, they went into the firewood business. That was like their GDP. And Misakvim Besuk, Shuk Rashi says they would remain in the market. So people would go home. They didn't get like an update on their iPhone if you have fuel in the house. It wasn't connected those days. So you had to actually go home. And once you went home, you could see if you had kindling wood or you didn't have kindling wood. If you didn't have kindling wood, then you'd rush back out and you'd buy yourself kindling wood. So these people would stay out in the market until people went home. And then they might need kindling wood again. So these Talmudoi or Talmudians would remain and they would buy from them. The Ritva simply says that these were the vendors who tarried longest in the marketplace. So, like simply stated, this idea of Talmudian, Talmudoi, it's just like saying until the streets are empty. Until the streets are empty. It's kind of funny that we chose until the Talmudoi left the street. What if you lived in a different place? You'd have to like do research and find out where the Gemara was written, and then find out there's the Talmudians and what do they do? It's kind of strange, but this is the language that the Gemara uses. So the Rebbe once spoke about this in Hanukkah 1983. The Rebbe said an amazing thing. The Rebbe said, first of all, at this Farbrengen, the Rebbe kind of like reframed the Hanukkah, the halachic narrative of Hanukkah. He said like this. The Rebbe said, so we learned that Hanukkah has to be in the doorway on the outside. And the Rebbe said, this means that a Yid is not satisfied with creating light for himself in his own house, in the image of the famous proverb of King Solomon in the sixth chapter, Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or, but rather the Tafkid, the job, the mandate, the purpose of the Ner Chanukah is that this light lamp of a mitzvah, this light of Torah, should also illuminate outdoors. And in fact, that's the main thrust of the Chanukah lamps, not like the mezuzah, because the mezuzah is on the doorpost, but the mezuzah is for the people living inside the house, not for the people living outside the house. But Ner Chanukah is about illuminating the outside. And what is the ultimate goal of the Chanukah lamp? Upu'ulasa. And its effect, its impact is kalya riglu tamadoi. In other words, to vaporize, to get rid of the influence of what's called Talmudoi. What does this mean? What is a Talmudoi?
So I'm going to come back to this sicha, unedited sicha. There's a fascinating statement, just a sentence, from a maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe of the Tzemach Tzedek, found in Ur HaTorah, the beginning of Parshas Miketz. It says like this. So what is the inyan? What is the idea of tichla regel min hashuk, that the feet, the footsteps vanish from the marketplace? He says, lahalos bechines regel hasmoli, that we're trying to elevate the left footsteps. Shemislabish bekeitz the smola, which is on the left side. In the beginning of this maimer, the Tzemach Tzedek is talking about the right side and the left side, and if you're a lefty, don't get offended, but it's just essentially about we have a stronger side and a weaker side. All of us are off kilter. And we are in the image of God, so when we speak about the divine persona, if you will, anthropomorphically, we speak about the various faculties. We talk about the way that we engage with the world around us, and we see that as a metaphor for how God is engaging with us. And there's a concept called the sphere of chesed. Chesed is benevolence, and giving, engaging, dispensing. And then there's gvura, which is about restraint and discipline. And it can even be used to parry or push away. Where should you have greater emphasis? They're very different kinds of attitudes, very different kinds of engagement. One is disengagement, one is pushing away, one is bringing close. So long before modern psychology discovered that a parent has to compliment the child 10 times before they criticize the child. This is like clinically proven. 10 times the message has to be positive, one time the message has to be negative reinforcement, if you want to be effective. It's an amazing study. So long before this, long before anybody spoke about positivity or don't criticize the child, criticize the behavior, long before, Torah tells us that in life there has to be a greater emphasis on chesed, on giving, on engaging, on embracing, a greater emphasis. Like the Zohar says, you need two wings to fly. But unlike the wings which are of equal balance, you need to engage to be able to balance, much stronger emphasis on the right. So if you're a lefty, fine, then it's a stronger emphasis on the left, and your chesed is on the left. The Torah is al pi haroiv tadaber. Torah speaks by the virtue of the majority of people. So whatever the majority of people are, that's how Torah speaks. The point isn't really right or left. The point is stronger side and weaker side, more dexterous side and less. So for most people, the larger number is right than left. So the Tzemach Tzedek speaks about this, and he says, therefore the left would also represent darkness and negativity. You know, there's an interesting word in the English language. The word is sinister. And sinister has conjectures of like things which are foreboding, frightening, gloomy, dark. And the origin of the word sinister is Latin, sineste, which means left. And as I understand it to be, as it was explained to me, that in the old days, in antiquity or before then, when people lived by the sword, so if you were right-handed, you were more effective with your right hand. You draw your sword from your left hand. If you got attacked on the right side, you could easily draw your sword, and in the arc of defense, you could repel the attack. But if you got attacked on the left side, that could be very, very dangerous, because by the time you reach over to draw your sword and reorient yourself, you might not be. So that was the side, that was the sinister side, that was the dark side. You don't want to get attacked. Incidentally, in biblical prose, the south represents the right and the north represents the left. And the prophet says, Mitzafon tifatach hara. And the most exposed flank of Jerusalem and the Beit HaMikdash was on the north, because there were valleys, the natural grade of the gorges around Jerusalem protected it. At any rate, so the left represents that scary or sinister side. And the purpose of Hanukkah is to reorient the left then. Aha. What does it mean to vaporize it? What does it mean to make it vanish? There's a mimer from the Rebbe. This is in many places, but it's very clear here. It's a mimer that the Rebbe delivered at the end of Hanukkah in 1977. This really was at the Rebbe's Seudas Hedor. The Rebbe made a special farbrengen to thank Hashem for his miraculous recovery. And at that mimer, which later on was edited and released in 1986, in the mimer, the Rebbe says that Talmudoi heim hamordim b'malchus shamayim. They are the ones who rebel, proverbially, against the kingdom of heaven. And the Rebbe cites a Sefer of Kabbalah called Emek HaMelech, and it says in Shar Kiryas Arba, it says that Talmud, or Tadmor, is Otiot Moredet, has the same Hebrew letters that can be scrambled to spell rebelliousness. So they stay out in the marketplace. Why do rebellious people stay in the marketplace? Because the marketplace is called Tura de Pruda. Tura de Pruda is a Zoharic expression, and it represents these proverbial mountains of separation. It's a place of lawlessness where wild things roam. And the menorah must be kindled ad the kalya rigla, the Talmudoi says the Rebbe, kalya, vanish, vaporize, has two meanings. One is that the or, that the light of the ner Chanukah is mechala umevatel rigla, the Talmudoi. It does away with the footsteps, the direction where the rebelliousness takes you. And another interpretation is that kalya doesn't mean to destroy or to vaporize, but rather it means to reorient such that you are poel inyan hakiloyein, which means that instead of feeling a sense of rebelliousness, you reorient this very same entity into a sense of yearning, like kilota nefesh, my soul pines for you, God. The Rebbe goes on to say that when you affect rebelliousness, when you can reorient that, then you have brought forth a greater yearning. As we know, that a repentant returnee to Judaism or to divine service has a much more powerful yearning than the perfect pious tzaddik. As they say, Yisrna Ur Mitoch HaChoshech. And here's the amazing thing is that we can understand this in a very like literal way. The biggest troublemakers in the class, if a teacher manages to get through to them, turn them into the very best students. They just have a lot of energy. They have to be directed. And if they are, amazing things can happen. So what does it mean, Kalya Rigla de Talmudai? What does this mean? So it means that we're trying to affect a change in the world. And the left represents that dark, cold, and sinister side. In a mimer of the Rebbe Rashab that was delivered on Shabbos Chanukah in the year 1883, he says, and says in the Sefer HaMoharim Gimel, to the end of the first paragraph, it says, Tiknu lahadlik ner Chanukah mismoil. Our sages ordained that the ner Chanukah should be on the left. Letaken kav hasmoil. And it fits with the language of the Gemara, which is not that the mezuzah is on the right, and therefore the ner Chanukah is on the left. Ner Chanukah mismoil u mezuzah miyamin. There's an emphasis on putting the ner Chanukah on the left. There's a mimer from the Friedrich Rebbe from the year Tovshin Dalad. He spells it out even more clearly. He says, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is tikkun kav hasmoil. It's designed to fix the left. He says, "Lahoyer es shusarab," to illuminate that public thoroughfare of wild, disparate, and uncivilized behavior. "Laker es adeyas hakoyz v'shal akoyfim," to uproot the opinions of atheism and denial of God. He says, this is the main idea of Ner Chanukah. Lahoyer, to illuminate the reshus harab, that public, the public thoroughfare where everything goes. So it turns out that this whole business of the Ner Chanukah Mismoil isn't just by happenstance. Well, the mezuzah is on the right, so Ner Chanukah is Mismoil. No, we see from the Kobe and the Urchas Chaim that they said, keep it on the left, because there's something very, very unique here. And the Rebbe went on to say in this particular Fabrengen that the Gemara's choice of illustrating the time when the mitzvah ends by mentioning the Talmudoi is not happenstance. The Gemara could have used a variety of ways to illustrate, to make this point, until the market shuts down. A half hour after the market shuts down. And therefore, the Rebbe suggested that there's actually a parable, there's a metaphor, there's a spiritual idea that's being conveyed here. As we learned, what the Talmudoi represents. And the Talmudoi representing those things, that's something that we have to be able to reorient, reconfigure, and redirect, sublimate the negativity. The Rebbe said, even if one is digs his heels in and says, no, this is quite literally, this is to be taken, you know, in a straightforward fashion. That was the only sign the Gemara could have had. The Rebbe says, even if one's to say that, we know that the Baal Shem Tov taught us that there are no accidents and everything is Hashgacha Pratis. So, there's a message here. In this particular Fabrengen, the Rebbe went on to illustrate how when we talk about rebelliousness and negativity and the left and the sinister stuff, we don't always have to look outside. He says this is on the inside as well. And there's a power in the Chanukah lights, a power to illuminate the darkness, a power to change the cold, the indifferent, and the agnostic. This is the power of Ner Chanukah. And that's why it's at the gates of darkness. The Chanukah's menorah is on the left side because that's where it belongs. And I have to tell you that I have the privilege, the good fortune, as a shliach of the Rebbe, of lighting the Chanukah menorah in many strange places. I've lit menorahs with people in hospital and prison, in very dark, sad, depressing places, and seen an amazing change in their demeanor. I've had the privilege of lighting public menorahs in very public thoroughfares, and invariably, time and again, the most remarkable effects of Yiddishkeit somehow get seen during Chanukah and during these menorah lightings because this is the power of the Chanukah menorah. So let's fire up our menorahs. Let's know that during this amazing Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is embraced by so many Jews. Most Jews are engaged at some level in Chanukah. So many B'nei U'B'nais Yisrael fulfill this mitzvah of kindling the menorah, an embodiment of the concept of Ner Mitzvah and Torah. Or let's keep making light. Let's know that by kindling menorahs, we are empowered to transform the spiritual darkness. And with our transformation of the cold, the dark, and the sinister into that which is bright and exuberant and passionate for Yiddishkeit, we will, Amir Tzashem, merit to accelerate the process of universal redemption and to bring about the coming of Mashiach and the kindling of the great menorah,
in the third Beis HaMikdash, whose light will bathe the entire world, opening people's eyes and enabling all of humanity to see the truth. And on that great day, Umala Haaretz Deyes Hashem, the whole world will be filled with pervasive knowledge and awareness of the Creator. May it be b'mheira, will be amenu speedily. And in our days, thank you so much for joining. I hope you found this inspirational. If you aren't yet subscribed, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. Let's continue to study Hashem's Torah together and be inspired by its uplifting messages, illuminating the whole world and bringing about the great transformation. Thank you for joining. Afrelich and Chanukah, Chag Sameach, Happy Chanukah, good night.